and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a fantastic day down here in Florida, and hope everybody's having a blessed Thursday as well around the country and around the world as you listen to our show. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, absolutely wonderful. And let me tell you a little story. You guys will like this story. It's a positive story. Well, it's not really a positive story, but I turned it into a positive story. We were coming back from North Carolina watching the eclipse the other day, and I was in the RV, and I had a trailer behind the RV pulling my pickup truck. And I was driving about 70 miles an hour, and it's a tandem trailer, so it had two wheels on each side. And I had a tire blowout on the right side. In fact, I had both tires blow out on this thing around 68 miles an hour on the interstate on the 475 Macon bypass. Now, I'm doing 70 miles an hour. I hear a bang. I look behind me. I'm seeing sparks, okay, because I tore the tires exploded. And, I mean, these are E-rated tires, too. They were more than suitable for what I needed. And so I pull over to the side of the road, and I've got wire everywhere from the tires wrapped around the axles. I'm, you know, it's 10:30 at night. It's pitch black. I got semi trucks flying by me at 90 miles an hour. And, you know, we basically offloaded the truck. I called AAA to come change the tire. I had one spare tire for the truck. And so I went ahead and offloaded the truck. You know, we were on the side of the road, but it was a really wide lane on the right, thank God. And so we pulled over and I offloaded the truck. I had my flashers going, hazards going, everything going. And then I called the sheriff up, and he came and put his blue lights behind us and got everything offloaded. And then we basically, AAA showed up, and we had the tire put on, and we took off to a Walmart. And we have a gas station that we stop at there in Perry, Georgia, you know, and we pick up fuel there. It's about halfway to the house. And we basically pulled into a Walmart right across the street about 1:30 in the morning. It took that long to get all this taken care of. Well, the next day, I look over to the side, and there's a Tractor Supply right there, and literally on the other side of the parking lot of Walmart, which carried the tires that I needed. I needed two new tires. And, you know, Walmart told me to change the tires for free. Just put two ones on there for me. So I said, wow, this is really exciting. So I went over to the Tractor Supply place, and they opened the door for me. It was like 10 till 8 in the morning. They weren't open yet. And they got the tires that I needed. And so I was leaving with the tires, and one of the ladies who was real nice says, well, I hope your day is better. I hope you have better luck the rest of the day. And she stopped me when she did that. I mean, I was walking through the doors with my tires in my cart, and I turned around, and I walked back inside, and I looked at her, and she had her other helper there, and another guy was there, like three of them. And I looked at her, and I started laughing, and I said, you know what? I said, here's how I look at it. This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice, and I shall be glad in it. And I said, do you realize that I had a pickup truck on the back of a tandem axle trailer? The pickup truck could have come off the trailer at 68 miles an hour. It could have been tumbling down the highway, running over people. Someone could have been injured or killed. I said, all I had to do is get two tires. I park in a parking lot that night, that happens, and you guys are literally in the parking lot. Walmart says they'll fix it for free. I mean, sure, it was a momentary inconvenience having to do all of that stuff, but it could have been so much worse. The good Lord protected me. And so I'm not going to allow that to affect my attitude, because my attitude is the only thing I can control. And as a Christian, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad. And they looked at me and they said, wow, you got a great attitude. I said, well, guys, I said, it could have been so much worse. They said, you know, you're right. It could have been a lot worse. I said, that's right. I said, we've always got to take a look at this glass half full. We've always got to realize that we can do all things through Christ. We have to realize as Christians that we're in blood covenant with the Most High God, and that He always takes care of us. I mean, how do we know that had I not blown out the tire down the road, that I would not have had an accident with the trailer, so He could have cut me off? Nobody knows. We don't know what happens like stuff like that. So I always believe that my footsteps are ordered by the Lord, and I was protected by Him, because that's what I pray every single day, and that's what I believe. So guys, I just want you guys to know that we've got to practice what we preach. And when things happen that are sometimes difficult, or sometimes not what you expected, or sometimes a challenge, we just got to say, you know what? God's still in charge. Prayer still changes things. Which brings me to my first story. And this is an interesting story to me, because I read it this morning, and I thought, this is really messed up. And this is a story out of Gateway Pundit, and it says that breaking, a Trans Lives Matter protester is mowed down by car during a St. Louis street rally. Now, here they're having a big rally up there because I'm reading their sign. Their sign says this: Black Trans Queer Lives Matter. Lady basically got involved with an altercation with a cop, she knifed the cop, knifed him. I mean, cut him. He pulled out his pistol, he shot and killed her, which I believe if someone knifed me and I had my pistol with me, I would shoot and kill him too. I mean, I'm not even blaming him at all. So the Black Trans Queer Lives Matter group decided to protest this death of this Black Trans Queer life. I'm reading their sign. And they have this big protest right downtown there in St. Louis. And just, they're just marching down the street because they're mad that the girl cut a cop and she ended up getting shot. Now, I have a news flash for you. I sent this article to Grady Judd this morning, and I told him, I said, I'm so glad I live in Polk County. I mean, this is absolutely insane that this is going on all over the country, because if you watch this or you read the article, it talks about how this man in a Mercedes was driving, some white guy. They called him a cisgender in the article. I gosh, that makes me want to puke, which means he was a heterosexual male who liked girls. Now he's a cisgender, but they have to call him a cisgender. They can't say he was a white heterosexual male because now they have 40 different types of genders. So he was a cisgender, CIS, which means he's normal and he doesn't have some kind of mental disturbance going on or hormonal imbalance. So he's driving his Mercedes, runs into this whole group of people walking down the road, doesn't know what to do. I mean, they're like blocking the road. Well, then they surround his car because he's a white cisgender male driving a Mercedes, and that just absolutely hacks them off. So they start pounding on the car, hitting it with stuff, banging on it, you know, jumping on top of the car. So he gives it gas and slowly pulls away, and one of the people on the hood falls off the hood. They were pounding on the hood, and they were slightly injured. He's fearing for his life trying to get away from these nutbags that are crawling on his car. He's then chased down by the police and charged with a felony for leaving the scene of an accident. You know, guys, if this didn't really happen, and this really wasn't this stupid, I really wouldn't bring this up on the show. Just when I thought I had seen the bottom of the barrel of stupidity, and I had seen the stupidest stuff that I've ever seen in my entire life, I end up reading this morning, which brings me to a whole different level of stupid. This goes back to with Forrest Gump, Stupid as stupid does. This is unbelievable. How in the world can we live in a country, Austin, and listeners, please listen to me on this, in which you're being assaulted in your car, you don't know, and there's hundreds of people marching, you don't know if you're going to get out and be beaten to death, stabbed, left for dead because you're a cis male, and you drive away, and the people on your car that are pounding on your car fall off your car, and you're arrested for this. This is to the point of ludicrousy. This is so ridiculous that I had to bring this story up today. I don't know what in the world is going on with the St. Louis Police Department. I don't know if they're brain dead, if they're on crack, or if they're scared to death if they're not politically correct, so they're going to have massive riots. Oh, that's right. That is the reason, isn't it? They're scared to death that if they don't do this and arrest this guy for doing absolutely nothing wrong and put him through the gauntlet and the grinding mechanism of the court systems and probations and all the other things he's probably going to get, that now he would have a massive riot stage because he drove away and wasn't arrested. I don't know how to respond to stories like this on this show because of how stupid they are, but how real they become. And how this country now has gotten itself caught into this political correct stuff to a point where when you're driving down the road and you're attacked in your car with baseball bats or clubs or flagpoles or whatever they're hitting this car with, you know, and you try to drive away, you're charged. Years ago, my sister and her brother, I'm sorry, not her brother, my sister and her husband, I'm not going to give you any names because this is not a positive story. It is a positive story with the outcome, but I'm not going to bring you names into this. But they're driving in Boston. My sister had told her husband there was a ghetto portion of Boston. This is over 30 years ago. There's like a Harlem area of Boston that's extremely dangerous. And they were going to the theater, all dressed up, and they were basically driving home about midnight. And he wanted to take a shortcut through the Harlem area of Boston, which was like a ghetto area, which was basically filled with gangs. And my sister had said to him, please don't do this, it's too dangerous. And his response was, well, we'll save 20 minutes taking this shortcut. I want to go this way. So they get downtown in Boston. A group of minorities circle their car, demand they get out of the car, break the window out, tore the door off the hinges on his side, stabbed him twice. Then my sister, she's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, she basically is dragged out of the car. Her snow boot grabs the bottom of the chair, the seat she's in, and they yell, "We're going to blankety-blank the blonde." And she screams out in anguish, terrified for her very life, "You can't do this to me, I'm a Christian." And they stopped. And they backed off. She crawled back into the car. Bill's there bleeding, stabbed twice in the leg and in the head. They don't know what to do. The group kind of gives them a little bit of leeway. Car's still running. Bill drives away. Hospital bill is thousands and thousands of dollars in stitches and hospital bill costs that were in the emergency room. And that was the story that they had. But by the grace of God, she called on the name of Jesus, telling them that she was a Christian, and they let her go. Otherwise, she probably would have been raped and left for dead on the side of the road in Boston. Now, here's the problem I have knowing what happened to her and knowing what happened to these people. If you think that the police are going to take care of you in the middle of something like this when you call 911, I've got some sad news for you. They're probably not going to be there for 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 to 40 minutes, and you're on your own. And so you have to understand that before things like this happen to you, number one, you need to avoid being in situations like that. And number two, you need to think through what you might have to do in a situation like that. Now, quite frankly, if I had been driving the Mercedes and I saw this, unless I was on a one-way road, I probably would have spun the car around and gone the other direction or taken the side road and thought, you know what, I really don't need to get through this crowd. 2 years ago, when I was in Dresden, Germany, actually it wasn't 2 years, about a year and a half ago, and I was driving my car in Dresden, and they were having a huge protest march for more migrants. They wanted more migrants to come in. And we were driving through, and we weren't even near the crowds, but people were marching across the road to go to the crowds, and they see us as, I see me as a white, cisgender, alpha male in this car with my blonde-haired, blue-eyed wife sitting in the front seat with me. They acted like they were going to come over and break the windshield out of the car. So needless to say, I gave the car some gas. There wasn't cars around, and I drove away, and I thought, this is very, very strange. Guys, remember this. You've got to be prepared for any and all sorts of circumstances like this. I mean, I cannot believe that mess happened to my sister. Messed her up. It really messed her up badly, by the way. She talked about it for years and years and years. I can't blame her for that. And the sad part about this is what was the guy, the white guy, the alpha male white guy, the heterosexual white guy, supposed to do in a situation where he's being attacked by a large group of people in an area that I'm sure by that point in time he wished that he had never gotten himself involved in? Austin, I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel on how we're supposed to do it, because I've been told by police officers that if you're on your property and someone's breaking your stuff, I mean like breaking your fence or basically stealing something, but you know they're not threatening you personally, that you can't even pull a gun on them and tell them to get off your property, that you're supposed to videotape what's going on and take him and sue them in civil court for destructive whatever. I mean, why has this happened, Austin? Why are we in a situation in the United States that all of this stuff is considered okay and that we've lost our rights to even defend ourselves or to drive away when we're being attacked, Austin? Answer me.
I wish I had a very definitive answer for you, but I don't. It has caused a lot of issues in a lot of states. The good thing about Florida now is they've allowed where if you feel essentially that you're on your property and you feel that you're being threatened, even if you don't want to use deadly force, you're allowed to shoot a warning shot safely into the ground to basically let them know that the next one will be aimed at them. the next step that it comes into, especially with driving laws, and I've looked into this repeatedly when I saw a lot of the unbelievably moronic tactics of the Black Lives Matter groups for the last couple of years, where they hold hands and literally shut down interstate freeways. We've all seen the photos of it. One of the stupid, most ignorant things you can do to walk out into a highway and try and stop 70-mile-an-hour traffic. Multiple ones have gotten hit before because of this. Now, the strange part about it is technically a constitutional law is the law to be able to travel freely, unmolested on our way. You have the right to travel freely, to not be stopped, to not be injured, to not be, you know, basically maimed, to not have your vehicle damaged while you're trying to travel safely. So the different scenarios you have here where if the man comes around the corner, there's a group, a mob of Black Lives, transgender, Queer Lives Matter, whatever they're yelling about again. And he stops and the group circles him and they start pounding on his vehicle. You have two options, basically. You can sit there and let them damage your vehicle. Essentially, it's probably going to escalate to them breaking the windows and entering the vehicle. And then it's going to escalate to them doing you great bodily damage. That's where it's going to pretty much escalate. So really the only sensible option you have is to drive. At this point in time in the videos, you see when he starts to drive, there are people surrounded all over him, and the one girl basically plops herself on the hood, which you can clearly see in the video. It was intentional. They did this as a stunt. They made sure that they got it on video, that they did everything they could to show that he hit her, and she fell on the hood and then rolled off. But, of course, nobody was injured. Nobody even went to the hospital. And he drives off. Well, so technically, that would be a hit and run. Well, my next question is to law enforcement. In that situation, when you have an angry mob pounding on your vehicle and you're involved in a hit and run, you pull up the road now and you stop, you know, say 100 yards up, and you call the cops. You say, hey, I was just involved in a hit and run. These people blocked me. I was in fear of my life. You know, I stopped, and now I've had to travel down the road 100 yards to flee to safety. But at this point in time, the mob that's so aggressive, so out of control, so ignorant, and so belligerent, they're going to see you're stopped. And 99% chance they're going to start chasing you down with whatever weapons they have. And now they're going to be even more irate and ignorant because this is how they act. And so they're going to catch you again and start beating on your vehicle. And you're about to have a relapse of the first situation. So you again take off and go another 100, 150 yards while you're still on the phone with law enforcement waiting for them to show up. And hopefully, by chance, by the time the people get to you and start beating on your vehicle again, law enforcement's going to be there to possibly protect you. But at that point in time, you have still fled the accident of the actual scene that occurred at the first time, so you can still be charged with a felony hit and run. Even though you stopped, you still took off and then took off again. So I don't know the legal grounds anymore, Dad, as far as where you actually have a right to be protected in your vehicle and the right to travel safely on your way. The ideology now between these leftists is that they can essentially march through the streets, stop traffic, beat on your vehicle with deadly weapons, damage your vehicle, and essentially escalate into breaking into your vehicle, and pretty much you don't have a right to even defend yourself. The only other option, I guess, he could have done, now I don't know St. Louis, but if he was stopped and the people basically surrounded his vehicle and he had no place to go, I guess he could have sat there and waited till they broke into his vehicle and started to basically attack him with a deadly weapon, and then he could have used a firearm if he had one to basically shoot any of the intruders that were trying to get into the vehicle. In the state of Florida, that more than likely would have been justified, being that he was in fear of his life. But then the next thing the jury or the prosecuting attorney would brought up, once you go to court for this, because you still would have been arrested. The next thing they would have brought up, they would have said, well, you used deadly force to defend yourself. Why didn't you just drive away? There were no blockades. There were nothing stopping your vehicles. There were people stopping you. Why didn't you just drive through of them and get to safety before you discharged a deadly weapon? Which brings you right back to the first scenario we already started on. So right. I don't know, Dad. I wish I had a more definitive answer on that. But this is getting extremely out of control with the siding of the cops, essentially, on these guys and saying they can pretty much do anything to you, anything to your vehicle, and if you touch them with your car and try to flee to safety while you're figuring out what's going on, you're basically charged with a felony hit and run. Pretty bad scenario to be in any way around. There's really no upside to it.
Well, and also think about this. How many of those people in the crowd were on drugs? How many of the people in the crowd were on opium? How many people in the crowds were on heroin? How many people in the crowds were on prescription painkillers? How many people in the crowds were on psychotropic drugs? I mean, how many people in the crowd actually were full mental facility? How do we even know the driver wasn't on some type of psychotropic drug? How do we know he wasn't on Prozac or Zoloft? I mean, how do we know he wasn't always already schizoid and already scared to death? I mean, we have so many people now in the United States that are so addicted to these types of drugs that it blows your mind. Because remember, guys, all of this stuff is that in the 1990s, the CIA constantly turned a blind eye to the opium trade in Afghanistan because they were controlling it. And then the Taliban took control of it and attempted to put an end to its production, as the opium industry in Afghanistan was 90% of the world's opium production even then, back in the early 90s, run through the CIA. The Taliban's action caused the opium production to plummet, and it wasn't restored until 2001, until the 9/11 attacks upon America gave the U.S. a perfect reason to invade Afghanistan. After which the CIA once again seized the opium fields and took control of them, thus allowing opium production to skyrocket. Guys, remember, this is so, listen, this is so important that you guys get this. One of the largest casualties of the CIA opium operation in Afghanistan are the American people themselves, which a lot of these people in St. Louis could be in this category, because we're talking inner city people, and a lot of them are involved in drug use. The American people in 2001, there were around 189,000 heroin users in the U.S. before the U.S. NATO invasion of Afghanistan. I'm going to repeat this. In 2001, in the United States, about 189,000 heroin users in the United States before the U.S. NATO invasion of Afghanistan. By 2016, get these numbers, the number was now from 189,000 to 4.5 million heroin users in the United States. Now, how many of these people in St. Louis had just taken a shot of heroin? We have no idea. The people jumping on the car, the people protesting, the guy driving, who knows? I mean, we've got a bunch of people out there that are drug addicts, 4.5 million people. I mean, you know, the state of Montana only has like 500,000 people in the whole state. You know, I mean, we've got millions and millions and millions of people now in the United States using heroin, at the tune of $1 trillion a year with these opiates coming into the United States, both the heroin and these drugs they're manufacturing, like OxyContin, and bringing them in and selling them via the black market channels, and people grinding these pills up and injecting them. Austin, this is a major, major mess. So what we're dealing with are people now in the United States that are simply not of their right mind. They're not of their right mind.
Yeah.
I mean, they're on meth, they're on heroin, they're on Ritalin, they're on who knows what else kind of drugs that they're out there on the streets, the blue stuff, the ecstasy, whatever the other stuff's called. I mean, so we've got a major problem in the United States with our cultural degradation causing stuff like this. If you've ever wondered why so many people act so stupid, it's because so many people are so stupid because they've been drugged into a stupor. And so that's it. And these people vote. These people drive cars. These people protest. And they want your stuff. Never forget that. They need to be enabled to get their drugs, so they want your stuff. I know just the other night, we have a friend of ours, 2 o'clock in the morning, has a pregnant wife. His friend's going around. He's out of town. And she looks out the front window. Their dogs are going nuts in the house. And there's 6 people out front that are basically casing the property, wanting to steal the vehicles. And this lady was smart enough. She turned the pit bulls loose in the backyard, and it scared these people off. This is what it's coming to, guys, because think through this for a second. If they can't get their fix, they're going to go into withdrawals. They don't want to be in withdrawals. So they're going to do everything they possibly can to get the fix. These opiates are so powerful that they will give you a ghost pain if you have a pain. Let's say, for instance, you broke an arm or you had a surgery and they got you hooked on opiates and you've got a problem with a torn muscle that you had at one point in time. Your brain will tell you that muscle still hurts and you're in anguish pain. It's called a ghost pain, which is similar to phantom limb pain with people that are amputees. You don't have the pain. What you have is your body wanting the fix of the heroin and the opiates so badly, it's telling you that you're in excruciating pain. And this can last up to a month, sometimes 2 months. with these folks that are coming off of these drugs. So, guys, it doesn't matter if you're a professional. If it's also saw that in the methadone clinic. If you're a doctor or a lawyer or a nurse or an engineer or a school teacher or a blue-collar worker, opium and heroin is no respecter of class status, income status, social status, or educational status. If you start taking this stuff on a regular basis, you're going to get addicted to it. It's just how it works. And that's one of the things they do with these girls when they abduct them in Europe. And they sell them into the sex slave. It's one of the big things they do. They get the girls hooked on heroin almost immediately. They start giving it to them against their will. And after about a week, 2 weeks on this stuff, they'll have sex with as many people as you want them to have sex with just to get their fixes. They become junkies. Guys, this is a horrible, horrible problem that nobody wants to address, nobody wants to talk about. But we've got to take a look at what's happening here on both sides of this thing, Austin. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and from Crime Stoppers in Central Florida right here, this really didn't get any publicity at all because they didn't find the individuals. And I saw it the other day on their article. Actually, I saw it this morning. And I knew about it right after it happened because one of my buddies is a sheriff, and he let me know because this happened on the other side of the lake from us. And basically around 2 a.m., on Tuesday morning early, three male suspects basically kicked in the front door of a house in a pretty well-nice neighborhood, and all armed with handguns, wearing masks and basically gloves, and demanded money, jewelry, electronics from the victims, and they basically got away with two iPhones, two iPads, a Rolex, two rings, and prescription medication. They then fled the scene, and they have not been caught since. This is becoming very common. And you say, well, I can't believe somebody would do that. You have to understand where it's starting to head, because when you start getting people's dad just said that are hooked on them, and usually most people that use heroin, they're polydrug users. They don't just do heroin. They do everything. That's one aspect I learned about that in the methadone clinic. Most people that get hooked on this stuff, unless they're just basic pain pills that they're hooked on, most of the people that get hooked on this hard stuff do everything. And so they're becoming so aggressive, so brazen now, that they're willing to arm themselves, to put on ski masks and kick in people's front door at 2 a.m. so they can steal iPads and Rolexes and, of course, prescription drugs. Think about it for a second. If they were just going there for money, if they said, hey, we want cash, we want Rolexes, we want iPads, we want TVs, we want gold, we want silver, we want all that, that's what they would have stolen. But they specifically listed in the report that they also stole prescription drugs. And I can almost guarantee you 99% chance, if I find the police report out in a week or two, if it gets released, which I will, I can almost guarantee you it will be opiates or some type of opiate derivative that they stole that were the prescription drugs. This is why I tell people on a regular basis, on a super regular basis, you need to know how to defend your home and your family. This is not one of those situations where you have to record the situation or you have to use discretion. Three armed males kick in your door at 2 a.m. You shoot them on sight. You don't tell them to put their hands up. You do not ask them to leave. You do not negotiate with them. You engage them with deadly force immediately upon seeing them. There is no other legitimate reason to have individuals coming in your front door with handguns in the middle of the night except for you to kill them. That is it, guys. I mean, as blunt as I can with you about this. Everybody has to stop being so worried about being politically correct with this stuff, and we all have to start standing up for our rights. I really hope this guy in St. Louis gets an incredibly good attorney and they fight this nonsense, this felony fleeing and eluding. There's absolutely no reason whatsoever he should be charged with something that aggressive. If they're going to do anything, it needs to be like reckless driving or something stupid like that, that's a 3 or 4 point ticket and be done with it. But everybody needs to understand that it's starting to get more aggressive. These guys are starting to play for blood. They're not just doing their little protest anymore. We saw that with Charlestown over there, not just on the side of the white supremacist that they want to label everybody there, even though there are a lot of people that weren't even involved in that nonsense. On the other side, the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter armed themselves with pepper spray, spray paint cans, bags full of urine and feces. Does that sound like individuals that are just coming there? to peacefully protest? Absolutely not, guys. So everybody needs to understand that going to these rallies, I'm not a big fan of. I don't do it personally. I don't recommend it. But on the other hand, defending your house, defending your family, and defending your life is a completely another story. And everybody needs to be aware and not so laid back on what's going on right now. And understand you need to own a firearm. You need to train with your firearm. You need to have friends and teams and fire teams that you could train with and rely on. If a situation happens, they can be from across the street. They can be right down the road. Most of the law enforcement, at least in Central Florida, takes anywhere from 5 to 45 minutes for a response time, depending how far you are away. That's the truth. So sitting there waiting for law enforcement to show up and protect you and have your back more than likely isn't going to happen. Most of the sheriffs I know, they tell you that. They say, dude, we're usually there to handle after the situation, the report, the write-up. You're there firsthand. You need to be ready to handle any situation that arises. And that situation that happened on Tuesday definitely got my attention, because that stuff does not usually happen in our little town where we live at. And now that's happened, and these guys got away with it, and they got a substantial amount of money and basically loot that they got. They are going to hit somewhere else again in the close vicinity around here. So everybody needs to understand this is not a game anymore. You need to be ready for any situation that occurs, whether it's 6 p.m. at night or 2 a.m. in the morning. Anytime, anywhere, you got to be ready.
That's why I'm a big proponent for open carry. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. Let's say, for instance, this guy across the lake, let's say he had a Rolex watch stolen. Let's say he wanted to wear his Rolex watch, which is his right. Now, there's certain places you shouldn't wear jewelry. I know when I go to Europe, I won't even wear a watch at all. I mean, if I have a Timex, I won't wear it, because I've got my iPhone. It tells me what time is. But I remember years ago, I went down to I had a Seiko, and it looked like a Rolex. It was, you know, not Rolex knockoff kind of thing. And I took it down to Argentina, down to Buenos Aires. And I remember the guy at the hotel looked at me and says, you need to put that watch away. And I said, it's a Seiko. It's a $80 watch. Used, it's worth 10 bucks. He goes, it doesn't matter. It looks like a Rolex. He goes, we just had somebody who had just gotten himself beaten half to death because of their watch downtown Buenos Aires yesterday, and they had to be hospitalized, and they were an American tourist. And I'm like, oh, gotcha. Put watch Seiko's going in my pocket, which it did, right? You got to be aware when you're in certain situations. But here's why I'm a proponent of open carry in the United States. It should be open carry everywhere. In the event, and I'm talking now people that are legitimate concealed weapon open carry permit holders who have the ability to make sure they're not like nuts, okay? We don't want nuts running around with guns. But here's the thing. If you're carrying on your hip and somebody sees you're carrying you can just do it for show. Wear a 44 Magnum revolver. I mean, it didn't make any difference. Just so they can see you're carrying a gun, sidearm. They're not going to follow you back to your house. They're not going to follow you back to your house. They're not going to get your tag number. They're not going to go into your neighborhood. They're not going to try to track you with your car. They're not going to do that. They're going to be like, we saw this guy. He's carrying a gun. He's open carrying. It's going to be kind of awful going to his place. We're probably going to get shot. See, that's the thing, guys. It's a deterrent. And something that you should never, ever have to use, Lord willing. But if you just allow you to, if you do that, nobody's going to break into your house if they know that you're armed, locked, and loaded. They're not going to do that. They're going to say, well, it's not much fun when people start shooting back. Well, that's exactly right. And what I can't stand is when they prey on old people, Austin. It's just, gosh, it makes me so angry. When they go in there and they rape an 82-year-old or 85-year-old woman, they beat her up half to death, they tie her, and she's found 3 days later by her caregiver, you know, almost dead, dehydrated, and you're like, how in the world did that happen? I mean, why would you do something like this? This is so sick. Well, because they're animals. They're animals. They're sick, sick, perverted animals, and what they do is they prey on the weakness of other people. That's the problem with all of this, and this is the problem when you live in a true quote-unquote democracy. It's a socialist, you know, pipe dream to have a true democracy when 51% of the people can hang the other 49%. I mean, it's just, that's how they look at it. That's why they're doing their best to make us leave the status, which we probably already have, of a constitutional republic, and make us a true democracy. Because true democracies they don't work, because the 51% keep telling the 49% they've got to pay their way, until finally 70% start telling the 30% they've got to pay for them. Then finally 80% start telling the 20% they got to supply everything. I mean, I read you the article yesterday about the lady who says that we should be giving our stuff away to these people. I mean, because they deserve it. No, they don't deserve it. If you want to see what happens when you give stuff to people, go to any Section 8 housing complex in the United States. It doesn't matter if it's black, white, Hispanic, they make one bit of difference. When they don't have any skin in the game and something was given to them for free, they don't take care of it. They never do and they never will. They let it completely collapse into rubble, and then that's why they don't try to even repair most Section 8 housing complexes. They'll keep them for 20, 30, 40 years, depreciate them, get the government money that they can from that. They bulldoze it, Austin. They bulldoze it. There's no fixing it. They gotta bulldoze it and either put different housing in there or whatever, because it can't even be repaired. And that's what you see over and over and over when these slumlords come in. Now, speaking about some more weird stuff, Pope Francis, this is an article that was basically by Joanna Gaines. And no, this is not Joanna Gaines. I don't know who it is. I can't stand it when they do this. When they have 50,000 people who basically have parts of them. I'm just going to read you the article. Pope Francis, Vatican, a cesspool of pedophiles and homosexuals, reduces penalties for priests who have sex with children. He's officially done that now. The greatest charity one can do is to lead him to the truth. That's what St. Thomas Aquinas. Pope Francis has come under the fire by church officials and sex abuse survivors for cutting the penalties for pedophile priests. The Pope wants to create a more merciful church by giving weaker sentences to sex offending priests, the Daily Mail reports. I covered this yesterday, that they're actually saying now that these little 4 and 5 and 6 year old children that they raped and they did these things to, that it was okay because these children consented. This is nuts. Michael Stone reports for Patheos on October the 3rd that police found more than 100,000 child porn videos and photos on the computer of former Archbishop Joseph Veselowski in his office at the Holy See Diplomatic Compound in the Dominican Republic. Veselowski was the Vatican's papal or ambassador to Santo Domingo. I mean, this is some crazy stuff that's going on, guys, and it's not getting any better with the Catholic Church. And guys, if you're born again, spirit-filled Catholic, and you really love Jesus, you guys need to try to work on your leadership, guys, because this is a major mess. And quite frankly, between me and you guys, I wouldn't give these guys a penny. I mean, they're getting plenty of money running their doggone cash through the Vatican Bank from the sale of the Afghan heroin. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what's going on with it. And also, too, to see what was going on with the issue with the Bundy standoff back in 2014. You guys remember that in November now. Two of the guys in the one main case have been totally acquitted. The other two, Eric Parker and Scott Drexler, it looks like they are going to be tried again for a third time now. For third time now, these guys are getting tried now. The jury acquitted two of the defendants of all 10 charges, but they could not reach a verdict on 4 charges against Eric Parker and Scott Drexler. It's basically a hung jury. So now the top federal prosecutor in Nevada vowed a third trial now Wednesday for the two men, saying that basically they raised a firearm against a federal law enforcement officer, which is not okay to do under any circumstances, and he will be trying them for a third time. In all, the jury of 6 men and 6 women reached a not guilty verdict on 34 of the 40 counts, and basically a couple of the other charges they were completely hung on. And this is just completely ridiculous as far as being an absolute waste of taxpayer funds. You know, the jury couldn't come to anything on it. They were like, no, this is done. And so they were completely acquitted of all the other charges. And now this blithering idiot globalist prosecutor still wants to try and make a example of them. And they're going to be tried again for a third time now. And the whole issue, if you guys even saw that about 2014, which I'm sure most of you did, it was something that the situation escalated way further than it should, but it also de-escalated. Nobody was injured. Nobody was shot. Nobody was, you know, really anything significant happened at the end of it, as far as there were no dead bodies, anything like that. And that was the end of it. And quite frankly, it really came down to individual rights and basically states' rights, and then again, federal overreaching rights with the BLM. And so for this prosecutor now to be coming in a third time now and want to try them again on essentially the 4 charges that the jury was hung on really boggles my mind, because nothing happened. Like I said, if this was a first-degree murder case and these guys were charged with killing multiple federal officers, okay, that's, we can discuss a little bit more in detail with that. But this is just nonsense now. All this is the government trying to come in and make an example of these guys because they want to prove that the federal government is all-powerful, all-reaching, and that you will submit to their authority. And he sits there and says, pointing a firearm at a federal officer is never okay under any circumstances. I agree with that in about 99% of the scenarios. But what happens when the federal government oversteps its bounds in a scenario? Do we reach a point? Have we reached a point now where the citizens' rights to defend their lives and defend their property is no longer protected under the Constitution, and the federal government is exempt from all constitutional following, that they can do anything and everything they want? I don't know. I'm just asking a question. But for this guy to make a statement like that shows me that he's blatantly trying to make an example out of these guys and prove that the federal government has complete control over everyone at any time under any situation without any type of scenario that can change any different that. So I thought that was pretty sad and wild that they're doing this a third time now with these two guys.
I'm going to read you part of an article that our buddy Chuck Baldwin wrote. It just came to me today. It's called In Defense of Leon Jackson. And he says, ever since the violence in Charlotte, this is about what you're talking about right now, Austin. The violence in Charlottesville, Virginia took place, memorials and statues of great men of the Confederacy, along with the flags of the Confederacy, have been vandalized or taken down by municipal governments. In 1864, Confederate General Patrick Claiborne warned his fellow Southerners. Now, he warned them of historical consequences if the South lost the war for independence. He said if the South lost, quote, I'm going to read this to you. This is quotes. It means the history of this heroic struggle will be written by the enemy, that our youth will be trained by Northern school teachers, will search from Northern school books their version of the war, will be impressed by the influences of history and education to regard our gallant dead as traitors and Maine veterans as fits of objects for derision. No truer words were ever spoken. History revisionists flooded America's public schools with Northern propaganda about the people who attempted to secede from the United States, characterizing them as racists, extremists, radicals, hate mongers, and traitors. Kind of sounds like today.
Yep.
Chuck Baldwin goes on to say, folks, please understand that the only people in 1861 who believed the states did not have the right to secede were Abraham Lincoln and his radical Republicans. To say the southern states did not have the right to secede from the United States is to say that the 13 colonies did not have the right to secede from Great Britain. One cannot be right and the other wrong. If one is right, both are right. If one is wrong, both are wrong. How can we celebrate the Declaration of the Independence of the American colonies in 76 and then turn around and condemn the Declaration of Independence of the Confederacy in 61? In fact, southern states were not the only states that talked about secession. After the southern states seceded, the state of Maryland fully intended to secede also. In September of 1861, Lincoln sent federal troops to the state capitol and seized the legislature by force in order to prevent them from voting. Several provost marshals stood guard in the polls and arrested Democrats and anyone else who believed in secession. A special furlough was granted to Maryland troops so they could go home and vote against secession. And judges who tried to inquire into the phony elections were arrested and thrown into military prisons. This is the great emancipator Lincoln. In fact, before the South seceded, several northern states had threatened secession. Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island had threatened secession as far back as James Madison's administration. People say constantly that Lincoln saved the Union. Now listen to this. This is the best part of the whole article. This is so important. People say constantly that Lincoln saved the Union. Lincoln didn't save the Union. He subjugated the Union. There's a huge difference. A union that is not voluntary is not a union. Does a man have a right to force a woman to marry him or to force a woman to stay married to him? In the eyes of God, a union of a husband and a wife is far more sacred than a union of states. If God recognizes the right of husbands and wives to separate, and he does, to do and suggest that states do not have the right to lawfully separate under natural and divine right is the most preposterous proposition possible. People also say that Lincoln freed the slaves. Lincoln didn't free a single slave, but what he did do was enslave free men. His so-called Emancipation Proclamation had no authority in the southern states as they had separated to another country. Lincoln had no more authority to use a proclamation in the CSA than the British Crown had authority to issue a proclamation in the states of the USA today. Do you not find it interesting that Lincoln's proclamation didn't free a single slave in the United States, the northern states, the country in which he did have authority? That's right. the Emancipation Proclamation deliberately ignored slavery in the North. Do you realize that when Lincoln signed this proclamation, there were over 300,000 slave owners who were fighting in the Union Army? The institution of slavery did not end until the 13th Amendment was ratified on December the 6th, 1865. Speaking of the 13th Amendment, did you know that in his first inaugural address, Lincoln actually supported an amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which would have been the 13th Amendment proposed by Ohio Congressman Thomas Crowan, that said, "No amendment shall be made to the Constitution which will authorize or give Congress the power to abolish or interfere within any state with the domestic institutions thereof, including that of persons held in labor service by laws of said state, including slavery." You read that right. Lincoln supported an amendment to the U.S. Constitution preserving the institution of slavery. That proposed amendment was written in March of 1861, a month before the shots were fired at Fort Sumter in South Carolina. Guys, we have been lied to and 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 lied to by this federal government. Lincoln took control of the federal government in 1861 and subjugated the South and subjugated the entire country to the dictates of the northern aggressive military force of the federal government. And that continued all the way through and got worse and worse and worse until 1963, when Kennedy got shot. And that's when the CIA completely took over the government. Guys, we've been completely and totally lied to for over 100 years about the origin of the Civil War, basically the outcome of the Civil War, who Abraham Lincoln was. Was he the great emancipator or was he the great tyrant? You pick. But I do say this, and I'm going to say it again. Lincoln knew that the bankers were trying to split the country down the middle, and he did what he thought he needed to do to put it back together again, if you believe that version of history. But here's the other thing. Remember, Lincoln's wife was a Satanist. She did routine seances in the White House. Look it up. They said she was crazy. She wasn't crazy. She was a witch. I mean, this is some nutty stuff that when you start digging into the history of Lincoln and who these people were back then, they're not who you think they were. Guys, everything we've been taught about mainstream news, everything has been propagandized. All of it taught to us by Bernays, the cousin of Sigmund Freud, and taught to our governments by King and Freud, and basically with Goebbels in the Third Reich, he brought it to a new level. And then, of course, we picked up what he did, and we've been propagandizing for years now, for decades, almost a century, with the media. And Austin talked about this with Hollywood, I believe it was on Monday or Tuesday, in which so many of the films that are released by Hollywood have government impact and are paid for by the government as long as the propaganda remains consistent. What do you think, Austin?
Wow, that was really good article you read there, man. There's no question about it that, I mean, there's a lot to the Civil War that we're never even taught anymore, that nobody even talks about, and that's what boggles my mind when these blithering idiots want to run around and tear down memorials about a fight and about a war and about a tyrannical government that they don't even comprehend. I did not even know that about Maryland, that they were actually getting ready to vote on seceding from the Union, and Lincoln sent them up there to basically be forcefully extracted so they could not vote. If that right there doesn't show you to the level of the tyrant that he had become, of saying, no, you guys don't have the right to vote if you want to leave. We're going to forcibly arrest you and prevent you from voting. And as you said earlier, it's the same concept of the UK said, well, guess what, guys? We're voting that no firearms are allowed, period, in any type of form, in anywhere in the country. So we're basically putting that onto the United States as well, because we feel the need to basically force you guys to do that. The United States would, everybody would laugh at him. They go, okay, that's fun. That's funny. It's a good joke. No, go away.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. One more thing off of Baldwin's article. He says the problem was that Lincoln wanted the Southern states to pay the Union a 40% tariff on their exports.
Yep.
You heard that right. 40%.
Yep.
The South considered this outrageous and refused to pay. By the time hostilities broke out in 1861, the South was paying up to perhaps exceeding 70% of the nation's taxes. 70% of the taxes keeping the Washington bureaucracy afloat was being paid by the South. That's why he didn't want them to leave. Before the war, the South was very prosperous and productive, and Washington, D.C. kept raising the taxes and tariffs on them. You know the way Washington, D.C. keeps raising the taxes and tariffs on prosperous American citizens today. Guys, Abraham Lincoln himself said it was never his intention to end the institution of slavery. In a letter to Alexander Stevens, who later became the vice president of the Confederacy, Lincoln wrote this: "Do the people of the South really entertain fears that a Republican administration would directly or indirectly interfere with their slaves or with them about their slaves? If they do, I wish to assure you, as once a friend and still, I hope, am not an enemy, there is no cause for such fears. The South would be no more in danger in this respect than it was in the days of Washington." I mean, this whole thing has been a complete and total lie. Lincoln wanted to free the slaves after the war and send them back to Africa. That was his goal because he considered them to be a lesser human being. He considered them inferior. Guys, he is not who you think he was. He is not the great hero of the United States of America. He is simply a tyrant as far as I'm concerned. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. You nailed it on the head with that article, and that really goes to show you exactly what I was just talking about. That's why I'm glad you segued into that with what's going on with Clive and Bundy as far as when that whole incident happened in 2014. Again, we see the same thing where the federal government essentially is the all-powerful Oz behind the curtain, and they can do no wrong, and they have the right to do anything they want, whenever they want, however they want. So it's pretty wild. Also, too, this is in total other news as far as with immigration now. The Trump administration is now released today. It's now cracking down on foreign countries that have been refusing to take back their citizens after they were deported. It is about time he did this. This has been a significant issue that's literally been going on for decades. As far as when we deport somebody back to their country because they're involved in illicit criminal behavior, we don't want them here anymore. We're not going to pay to imprison them here anymore. And basically, they can go back to their own country and they can be a burden to their country. Countries have repeatedly said, well, you can't drop them off here. And the United States goes, okay, well, we'll keep them then. We're sorry. We don't want to offend you. That's pretty much what we do. It's almost nauseating. Well, the Homeland Security confirmed the White House has now sanctioned four countries which will not take basically deportees that have come here illegally, been deported back to their country, and they won't accept them. They reported that the sources close to the issue revealed that four countries in the question are Sierra Leone, Eritrea, Cambodia, and Guinea. They said, we can confirm the Department of State has received notification from the Department of Homeland Security regarding four countries that have refused on many occasions to accept or unreasonably delayed the return of its nationals. The move by the Trump administration will come in forms of visa suspension, which basically where foreign nationals will be barred from seeking to enter the United States on any of the various visa programs. So that just happened now. But that's pretty wild. I mean, this should have been done years ago. I mean, that doesn't make any sense why they haven't. It's no significant sanction as far as anything crazy, but what it does is their visas are suspended. Foreign nationals can't come here anymore. The visa program is done. So if they want to play that game, they don't want to take basically deportees from their country, then this is how it's going to go. So I'm kind of glad he's finally done this, Dad.
I am too. And by the way, Russia Today had an article, and finally someone else besides the Ted and Austin Brower show is reporting on this. And this is right off the Russia Today. You can go to their website and see it. Quote, "It's the opium, stupid. Afghan surge guarantees CIA black ops budget boost."
Boom.
Boom. Here's what the article says. "The CIA is also overjoyed because its black ops budget, which is tied to the exponential growth of opium production in Afghanistan, is now securely possible for another 20 to 50 years, claims Mike Ratty, co-editor of On-Site Line News. The announcement on U.S. strategy in Afghanistan comes as Donald Trump shakes up his inner circle. Chief strategist Steve Bannon has become the latest to head for the exit. The U.S. military said that in a matter of days, additional U.S. troops, thousands actually, could be deployed to Afghanistan following President Trump's speech on a new strategy for the region. The first deployments of American military personnel will happen quickly, General Votel told reporters on Tuesday. Russia Today discussed Donald Trump's decision to intensify U.S. involvement in Afghanistan. And, I mean, this is just nuts that this is happening, but at least somebody else besides us, Austin, is straight pulling this card out saying, hey, it's the doggone opium that the reason that we're in Afghanistan and the amount of money that we're bringing in from this. Guys, I want to thank you for listening to the show today. I love you guys. I appreciate you, too. I'll be on with Hagman tomorrow night for the full 3 hours. I think sometimes I'll bring another guest on, but I want you guys to know I will be back on with Hagman tomorrow night. I thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I hope you enjoyed the show. And maybe somebody who's listening will make some kind of sense as to why somebody who was arrested for leaving the scene of a crime when the people were climbing on his car and trying to beat his car up and break into his car. I don't understand any of that. So forgive me if I was, you know, basically in a quandary today trying to figure that out on the air, because, Austin, to me, this level of stupidity has no levels of boundaries. I mean, it's unreal. So, guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Thanks for the support. Thanks for listening. Austin, I'll let you write up the summary, and I will talk to you in a little bit. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys, thank you for the support, and thank you for being our customers and being our family. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com, or call us, 1-800-726-1834. And also be sure to check out the product of the week, the Ultimate Essentials 1. So we're having a sale on that. Very, very popular product. Basically contains our Ultimate Multiple, our antioxidant support, and our Norwegian Omega 3 in 60 individual packets. This is probably one of the most popular products as far as a larger standalone for convenience of where people want to basically have it in packets where they can throw it in their purse, throw it in their truck, throw it in their car, leave it at work, and be able to have their multivitamins with their antioxidant and omega-3 fats ready on tap all the time without having to have a bunch of different bottles. So it did win. It's on sale. And also be sure to check out the other products that are on sale. Definitely the magnesium brain food. We actually listed that up there to be voted on, which is already winning. That's a very, very popular product so far. So we got lots of great specials. As always, we have the three-pack specials on sale, of course, and also the different kits that we have, the Health Masters health kits, as always. So we appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for all that you do for us as far as being there and supporting us and making sure that we don't have to run ads. We don't sit here and have to run commercials every 15 minutes. We don't have to have pop-ups on our website. You guys make that happen by your donations, by your support of buying multiples. We can keep this show 57 minutes of straight news every day, and the website can stay clean, secure, healthmasters.com website for all your needs on anything you want. So we appreciate that, guys. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.